foul ooze. An oily gloss covered everything but the sharpest edges. She felt around until she located the latch, which was recessed into the door. Holding her .38 at the ready, she shoved the door inward. A gentle illumination spilled over her. The fire-retardant ooze crested over the lip at the bottom of the sealed door and glopped into the room. Christy stepped across the threshold, keeping herself in profile to make a smaller target. Her senses gave her an uncertain feeling that no one else was in the room. Computer mainframes lined the walls around her. Red, amber, white, green, and orange lights flickering against their surfaces. Christy got the impression that the operation hadn't been a large one, but it had flexed plenty of cybernetic muscle, judging from the hardware she could see. She crossed the room to the nearest workstation and sat, placing the pistol on the desktop beside her. She recognized the monitoring system from the numerous screens it had available. All of them were linked to a keyboard. There were 8 screens before her, glassed over ebony that only hinted at any kind of depth. Whoever had designed the room had gone to lengths to keep it hidden from the rest of the installation. It stood to reason that whoever used it would also want access to whatever else was available in the complex. 5 of the screens flared to life. The other 3 remained blank. The most centrally located screen, slightly smaller than the others, held a menu in lime green letters skating across black velvet.
Security camera uplink.
Numbers followed, as well as brief listings of where the cameras were. View 3 was an exterior view, tied in through the maintenance program, according to the menu. Christy was disappointed as she looked up at the dark screen in front of her, marked View 3. Evidently, the exterior cameras were the first to go during the attack in 2001. She checked the menu again, finding a listing for checkpoints interior. Another glance at the screens before her, and she found View 2 still operable. Though Mildred had the most knowledge of computers, she had taught Christy the basics. She brought up another menu in the lower right of the second screen, transparent so it didn't wipe out any of the details. The screen darkened and filled with the cavernous vault of one of the other tunnel shafts. She didn't know where it was or what it showed. The menu on the screen listed 5 other possible views. Elevator bars allowed her to scan even more. She worked her way through them. Most of them opened up only onto dead screens. There had been considerable damage done inside the complex, either by the bombing, the systems collapsing, or intentional changes in the programming. Lines ran across some screens, seized by outside source, sacrificed to prevent disclosure of this unit. On the next selection, though, she found Ryan. He was dodging back inside the entrance they'd come through, with Jack, Mildred, and JB surrounding him, covering his retreat. Bullets chopped into the sides of the entrance. Ryan went into a rolling dive on one shoulder, hurrying out of the kill zone that could be seen through the entrance. Through the entrance, Christy saw a war buggy perched on the sand, the tires churning as the driver threw his vehicle into gear. Then the entrance came apart in a terrific explosion that seemed even more horrendous because no sound came through the speakers. Dust and flying debris obscured the camera's view, and a heartbeat later took it out completely. A thin, irregular line of yellow and black static pulsed across the screen, followed almost immediately by red letters that said, "Unit offline." Ryan's muscles were seized in agony, but he managed to maintain his grip on the Sig Sauer with difficulty.
Close the damn door, Jack!
They got war wags. That war won't hold out long.
Ryan rose heavily to his feet, and Jack moved toward him, taking him by the arm.
I got it. I walked into this on my own. I'll see clear of it the same way.
JB took off his fedora long enough to wipe the fresh layer of dust from his face. Once he was satisfied with the effort, he worked on the lenses of his glasses, managing them one-handed on his shirt while he held on to the shotgun. Ryan couldn't see much in the darkness. Once the entrance had been blocked, nearly all of the light had gone with it.
Mo, where they come from?
You seen others like them?
Sure. Whole room full. Not asking questions, neither. They just shooting.
Ryan followed Jack's voice, knowing that he had marked the way in his mind by memory or things he could touch along the way. He stepped carefully. The debris from the explosion had made walking even more treacherous. A match flared to life, framing Mildred's face as she cupped the flame.
We blocked them in another room, jammed the controls on the door. If they want to get out, it's going to take some doing. They wear the same outfit?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
The large chamber on the other side of the entrance spun out in a wheel, shooting off a half dozen other tunnels that led into other parts of the structure. Three of them, they discovered, were blocked by fallen ceilings and walls. Another had been shut off by a fixed steel door that JB had said would bring the top of the building down if an attempt was made to blow it.
Where's Christy and Doc?
Must still be down in the tunnel they were following. We haven't heard anything from them.
We got a way open to us now. Let's go. We may run out of places to go to later on. Jack, take the lead. Mildred, you follow. I got the rear. And JB, you're about a step ahead of me.
Suddenly, a soft blue-gray light pulsed into being above and behind him. Ryan whirled, his eye adjusting to the flat monitor screen built into the wall. The color was washed out, leaving the images only a palette of grays to work with, but he had no problem recognizing Christy. In the distance, machinery seemed to fill the background behind her.
Hello, lover. How are things on the other side?
I think I found a way out. I'm gonna map the area. Hurry!
Christy's image blanked out, fading like a ghost caught in a Matrans jump. Suddenly, it was replaced by a jumble of lines Ryan knew had to represent corridors and floors inside the installation.
Anybody make any sense out of that?
That the floor she and Doc on. Stairwell here. She there.
A faded lemon dot stood out against the gray under Jack's forefinger.
Can you find it?
Sure.
Sounds like they're blowing open the entrance. Let's go. Things around here aren't getting any friendlier. Shit. Now what the hell was that?
It must have been the team we trapped in the other section.
Fan out! Be careful with these bastards.
JB?
I'm way ahead of you, Ryan.
Hit the wall one more time!
Burroughs crouched on the other side of the FAV, taking shelter from the debris that would be raining down on him momentarily.
Ready, sir!
No matter how tough and seasoned Deathlands has made Ryan Carter, there is no way he's gonna stand against real military men.
The Major was counting on the edge that his unit had brought with him out of the installation after almost 100 years. It was what was going to deliver a world to him, and he'd spent decades figuring out how to get it right. The casualties Ryan and his people had inflicted reduced Burroughs' favorable odds, though. His men had been blooded and provided with training and discipline that combat men would never receive again, unless he took the time to train them himself. And the patriotic fervor that drove most of his unit was irreplaceable. None of the recruits he'd be able to find would ever hold the same love for their country that he and his men did. Project Calypso had given him all the time he figured he'd need to reclaim his country, provided Carter and his team hadn't discovered the project's secrets during their exploration of the installation.
Fire!
The shell was dead on.
Excellent! Next phase of the assault, men.
There were only two entrances into the building, and his men had covered them both.
Carter and his group are gonna die like rats.
The second explosion had torn up the inside of the building even more and succeeded in opening up a hole as big as a man's chest and shoulders. But Ryan and JB were busy dealing with a squad already inside the installation bearing down on them.
Gren!
Go!
Ryan hooked the spherical explosive around the corner and into the midst of the attackers. Even though he turned his head and closed his eye, the flash imprinted against Ryan's lid and removed some of his night vision. He blinked, trying to clear it. Ryan's heart leapt as the front entranceway suddenly exploded inward, driven not by another shell, but by the raw tonnage of the rolling tank. The vehicle tore through the wall as if it were paper, except that the rough and ragged edges of the steel dug deep gouges across the painted finish. Exterior floodlights mounted on the outside of the war wag sprayed out and focused on the stairwell.
Dark night. That man isn't gonna back down for anything.
We can't hold here.
Ready when you are.
Now!
Ryan began pulling back. He hoped the new light would be confusing to the men watching their position. Once it was known they'd dropped back, the pursuit would begin through the tangle of stairwells. There'd be little chance of taking a stand. He flicked a last glance at the map Christy had displayed on the monitor. From the looks of it, they were headed straight for a dead end. Watching the events unfold over the surveillance monitors and not being able to do anything about it was maddening for Christy.
Damn it! Ugh!
She pushed up from the keyboard, fisting her pistol. There was nothing more she could do. Jack would lead them to her. Most of the power had returned to the hidden lab, bringing with it a stronger light that made everything easier.